Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and since 2014, we've been celebrating and commiserating with world-class experts, best-selling authors, and parents around the world. Hi, everybody. This is a super fun next couple of weeks. Next week, we have Hillary Frank in studio. She is the creator of the Longest Shortest Time podcast, and she's also the author of Weird Parenting Wins, Bathtub Dining, Family Screams, and Other Hacks from the Parenting Trenches. And this week, I have two of my closest friends in studio with me. Claire Coffey's in town from Brooklyn, and Bridget Maloney Sinclair is in town from Burbank. We live right over the hill. And we are sharing a conversation about spending freezes, mom anxiety, and kicking our digital addiction. Here we go.
Excuse me, mom, excuse me, mom, watch, excuse me. And there's like no amount of, Calvin, I'm working right now. I really need you to give me some space. I'll be with you in 20 minutes.
No, that makes them crazier.
It's like
withholding romantic love.
I just said no. I said, and then I just say, no, Calvin, no, no, no. Did you hear what I said? No, no, I can't. No, Calvin.
I think the romantic love thing makes so much sense. It helps me not get my feelings hurt that Sabrina would rather be with Adam.
That she's playing hard to get?
No, she's playing hard to get. So you're right. It's on multiple levels. It's on multiple levels because she's playing hard to get with me. And then with him, she's so devastated. Like, she'll cry at school if he doesn't take her to school. Like, she has such a deep crush. And I have to remember, like, oh, those times that I was completely psychotic in high school,
You don't feel that way every day in your marriage, so.
No. How about you guys?
Sometimes.
Do you?
Sometimes, yeah.
I mean, I love him, but I'm not. We have a secure attachment.
Yeah.
You're right.
No.
It's not that
Sabrina
desperation.
Feels the way about Adam, the way I felt about the relationships, every relationship leading up to my husband.
Every time
very
I think about
unhappy and desperate.
I don't know. Was it desperate? No, I just remember you making sandwiches for boyfriends when they'd go on the plane. And I was like, wow.
No, I did that once for Chris and his bandmates because I was rightfully concerned that he wouldn't eat otherwise. Chris is, he showed up actually birthday dinner. I made a reservation and took him out to this nice restaurant. And usually Chris is very like effusive toward me or like, you look so nice. And just he's a very, very kind person. And he showed up and I was like, I had a dress on. I'd made an effort. And he just had this weird feral look in his eyes, like just super spacey, which he gets when he's working. But I was like, hi, like happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and I'm talking to him and his head is like off and his gaze is off. And I was like, well, oh, are you thinking about the song? He goes, no. I haven't eaten today. And then I got mad at him. Mm-hmm. On his birthday,
sure.
For being unavailable to me because he hadn't had a sandwich.
I mean, it wasn't his fifth birthday. You're allowed to get mad at people when they're adults.
And I think
birthday.
I've said this on the podcast. He forgot to feed our child at least once. So
child luckily was old enough to then be like, excuse me, I'm hungry.
Well, he wasn't the first
time.
They
just throw a fit.
Yeah.
You wonder why they're so cranky.
No, I come home and he's screaming. And I said, did you feed him. Did you eat lunch? He said, yeah. I said, did you feed Calvin lunch? Oh, no.
Oh.
So anyway, that was a deep dive after
the whole
a simple question.
On Soylent.
What's Soylent? Soylent?
You guys, it's 2019. It's the meal. It's the like perfect nutrition meal replacement shake that those dudes in Silicon Valley created.
Is it made with soy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't.
And GMOs.
Yeah, I
thought we weren't supposed to do. Oh, and GMOs. They're wow, like, it's a
proudly,
double whammy.
Proudly.
Oh, no. Because soy is the only thing I can't have.
And it's named that because of Soylent Green. It's like a joke. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. a joke. Mm-hmm. And it's.
Play on words.
It's a perfect nutritional. It's like all your minerals and fats and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not high calorie, but it's like 250 a pop or something, and you drink it instead of a meal. And
it's like breast milk.
Yeah. And they created it so they didn't have to spend precious energy or time thinking about food, preparing food, or eating food.
It's so depressing.
I might be their ideal candidate.
I know. You don't really care about food. My friend Zoe's the same way, who once was like, honestly, if I could take a pill and get it, I would. She also used to make a tuna casserole like on Monday night and eat it for lunch and dinner every night until it was gone.
Oh my God.
As adults. And I was like, that makes me feel so sad and weird.
Whereas, like, Chris, I'll try to feed him, like, what I eat when he's gone, just, like, you know, rice and chicken and I don't know, something in a pot, something in a bowl.
Yeah. You always have some greens.
Greens, a protein, a carb. That's what I try to strive for. Chris, like, he needs his meal, like, his food to be delicious and, like, have a nice cocktail and have it be his taste really good. His standards. Well, he, like, and I have grown to really appreciate it, because it's like, well, yeah, what are you doing in your life if you're not like savoring?
This is true. But once I was trying on a shirt with my friend Claudia, and I said, but is it gangbusters? It was a blue long sleeve t-shirt, I remember. And she said, Bridget, not everything could be gangbusters. And I was like, she's right. Sometimes you just need a Michael Stars long sleeve t-shirt. It was like 2004.
Oh, Michael Stars.
Yeah, but it's like, does it spark joy,
of course,
right?
But similar. Like,
but I know it's not. It's a blue shirt.
Yeah, like sometimes you have lentil soup for dinner three times a week because you make it. They can be fancy lentils from Rancho Gordo.
Or in a can if you're at my house.
No, it's the Amy's Organic Lentil Soup.
Yeah.
That's deep.
With tortilla chips. We really crush that at our
house. I think Calvin might have that tonight.
Yeah, he loves it. I bring a can of lentil soup everywhere I go for him. I really do.
Such a good mom hack.
It's so easy. It's one can of soup.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, very portable.
It's like a pouch. I've got them all.
So to go back to the like the romantic aspect, is Phoebe experiencing the crushes thing at preschool in the way that Sabrina's class has, you know, it's they're all in love with each other. Sabrina,
have they paired off, or are they like all in love with Sabrina?
It's Polly. They're Polly.
That's what I'm wondering.
It's a purer, more honest.
I think Sabrina's just going to open up her own like cult, right? Like she'll start the cult, and it's just all these boys. She just has all these suitors.
This is not. There's one. There was a hot ticket, not to objectify him because he's four. there was a new boy this year, who's very, very cute. Everything about him, and he's very sweet. And one day, he ran up to Dan, my husband, when he was picking up our daughter, and he said, "Hi. Phoebe's my boyfriend." And my husband was like, "Oh, cool, cool, nice to meet you." But he was just like, the teachers we found out were sort of doing that more like girlfriend boyfriend talk, which seems not very woke. So we kind of, I think everybody was like, oh, let's not make it romantic. Everyone's just buddies hanging out.
Yeah, can't they just be friends? You do. That's the interesting thing, is you start to see like kids with charisma, because there's a kid in Calvin's school where everybody, like, he shows up and everyone's just enamored.
Right, he's here. He's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cult leader.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like so sweet and so fun and funny, but like it's incredible how.
Yeah. Like, I'm really working to cultivate that.
What do you do to get your child
intense eye contact? Like, how to make people feel important, ask them questions,
but not just too kidding. Important, because then they won't follow you.
Power. No, Calvin doesn't have that. Yeah. Where he says, Calvin is now. I told you this, but last week, it's like Chris was trying to read him like do bedtime, and Calvin, you know, really, really objects if I'm around and not doing bedtime, and. He's just like, Daddy, it's just, I don't love you. I like you, but I don't love you. And that was his sort of, like, he loves Mommy. Everybody else is, like, various stages of like.
Yeah.
Or not like.
What did Chris say in response?
And Chris was like, okay, I understand. and then slunk up the stairs.
I mean, that's better than like down feel the same way
about you, buddy.
That's what I say. I say, Calvin, daddy doesn't really like it when you say things like that. Or like, I resisted, like, yeah. Daddy doesn't like you either, because I said that once. And Chris was like, don't, you're not supposed to do that.
You're supposed to say, well, I'll love you no matter what. You can feel however you want, blah, blah, blah.
I said, daddy doesn't like it very much when you do that. That hurts daddy's feelings.
Sabrina became aware of it hurting my feelings. So
and now she really doesn't more. No.
No, she will now be so sweet about it because she clocks it.
Yeah.
And for, let me tell you, for so many years, I was like, I don't want my child to, you know, in the similar vein, Bridget, of like, I don't want her to feel responsible for my feelings.
Yeah.
But like, she can be like not a dick to me.
Wait, it's a fine line. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, it hurts my feelings. And now she will be like, I would like both of you to put me to bed. Oh, that's like she's trying to make space for me in their relationship.
We've talked. It is nice. We've talked about like how sometimes things are rude, even if they're true. There's like a rude thing to say. Mm-hmm. And the other day, Phoebe came in our room in the morning, and she was like, "I don't want to be rude, but it smells stinky in here." Which also, like,
adds to the rudeness.
But, like, yeah, it adds to the rudeness. Like, now she sounds prissy. And then Dan was so offended. It was like, no, it doesn't. Like, no, it probably didn't. She's experimenting with also, like, because we also talk a lot about brushing teeth and fresh breath. And so now she's like, here, breathe in my face. I'm like, absolutely not. So you can tell me I need to freshen up.
Yeah, bad breath. I have such bad breath in the morning.
And yeah, me too.
Sabrina
and
loves
tight
to comment
about it.
On it. Yeah. But I still have hope in my 19-month-old Eliza because the past couple nights, she's been trying to French kiss me.
You're like, yeah, I got one.
Like, Sabrina, fine. You got dad. I got this kid. She open mouth tries to kiss me. Yeah. And it's so cute. We're like in the dark, in the little rocking chair. And a couple weeks ago, she started nursing on me, which is like so crazy. She starts giving me like hiccups on my neck. Yeah, and I'm like, how does she remember this? It's been
because it didn't happen.
Like 10 months.
Oh, still,
I know.
I don't know. I think that's kind of crazy.
Well, I think they also, because George just started licking us, but I think he does it because it's funny. Like our faces, you know, and our hairs. But yeah.
I feel like I should clarify to listeners that I don't let her, like, we're not, like, actively making out, but she tries.
Good. It's good to clarify.
I don't know. We live in L.A. Who knows what parents are doing out here.
Yeah, or anywhere.
Regurgitating food and, you know, that was a big thing. Lisa Silverstone,
the bird
thing.
Feeding.
Which I will admit I've definitely, like, cut food
with your mouth. Me
biting
too.
It.
Like spit out half of
it. I lick sauce off because he can't have it. Things need to be monochromatic in order for Calvin to eat them.
So
usually.
You lick the sauce off? We're literally like a pack of
like garbage.
Golden retrievers.
We're animals. I was just thinking about that today. I was thinking about, that we're animals.
Really? Big shout out to Lisa Silverstone. If you listen, I have a thing to do by bringing up. That was quite the.
It was.
That was a lot of drama back in the day. I get it, though.
Yeah.
So one thing that's been really excellent in having two daughters is just moving all of the clothes that don't fit in Sabrina, like, into Eliza's room.
Uh-huh.
And so in that way, it's like spending freeze, sort of. But then I end up just buying extra things for Sabrina because I'm like, well, it's like a 2-for-1.
Well, it is. I was just saying to Dan yesterday, I'm trying to curb my mindless spending and consumption.
Yeah, how's that going?
That's an umbrella.
Your two books of, what was your thing in the last podcast
we did
together?
I'm waiting for her to break up with your phone from the library. I just finished this Steve Jobs, Lisa Jobs Brennan.
Oh, how was that?
I mean.
It's called Small Fry.
It's called Small Fry. It is not a flattering portrait. And then, of course, I read all of these interviews with her where she's like, no, that wasn't my intention. Mm-hmm. And lady, if it wasn't your intention, like you really missed the mark and your editors misled you. She's a beautiful writer. It's really interesting, but it is tough. It is tough. Like, it's sad and doesn't make me feel sad that I didn't get to know Steve Jobs while he was on the planet.
Did you get any parenting tips of like how not to abandon your child.
Oh my God. Yeah. Several. There's a weirdness throughout.
Do you ever
weirdness?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, really quick?
Well, like she at the end of his life thanks him for how frankly he talked about sex and sexuality with her because it was not shaming and that was like a real mm-hmm. gift for her. So that's great. But then she also throughout the book talks about how uncomfortable she is that he demonstratively kisses and squeezes the breasts and bottoms of the women he's dating in front of her. And that at one point when she tries to walk away, he says, come on, Lise, you're not being part of the family. And wants her to sit at the table while it happens. And I was like, and she never implies anything beyond that. But that's odd to me.
Someone just squeezing someone's breasts at a dinner table is...
Well, that's the other thing. And then her aunt is Mona Simpson, which is an interesting twist, which
who
I knew
she?
And forgot. She wrote Anywhere But Here. She's a celebrated novelist. And she even, I guess, comments on it at one point, like not get a room, but
yeah,
basically
get a room.
Like,
yeah,
that seems weird. Stop doing that.
Yeah. You could explore the psychology of it, but like, he needs everybody in public to know that this is his property.
Yeah. There's a lot of, it's interesting. And there's also like, he obviously was much more aligned with his partners. This was a child he didn't claim for many years.
Right.
Like, so she was sort of an like auxiliary part of his life for a long time. But I don't know. I mean, I couldn't put it down. I got it from the library.
You got
my
it
book
from
spending
library.
Freeze. I read it really fast.
What else are you freezing?
I'm trying not to buy any clothes for anyone in the family on my phone.
Oh, that's a good way to stop that.
Yeah.
Well, like, should we talk about Poshmark?
Yeah. I had to take it off my phone.
My mom's obsessed with Poshmark.
Yeah. So, Claire, will you explain Poshmark to our listeners?
I don't know it because my mom
don't do
is
it.
Like, I don't do it. My mom just, well, like all of a sudden I'll get a Venmo alert that $20 has arrived in my account. And my mom goes, $20. And the comment is Poshmark. And I
is she
send
selling
her,
your stuff?
Yeah, well, my mom was a nurse for very, very many years and is an OR nurse and is one of those people who cannot sit still. Like, I remember trying to sit down and like, hey, mom, will you watch this show with me? And I'm on it.
Yeah.
and she would sit down. And the credits would start, you know, the opening credits, and she would get up and go to the laundry. And then she would get up, like, she could not actually sit down.
My mother never once sat through a TV show or a film.
No. You would take my mom to the movie, and it's nap time.
Is that anxiety?
I don't, probably.
She would feel like my mother would feel like she was wasting time.
That's
like, she should be more productive.
Yeah.
And that would be very...
How does she feel about the two screen experience now? Does that cure it a little bit? That you can be on your phone or computer while you're watching TV?
I think my mom, because so she retired, but then she kept not retiring because like she'd go back for shifts. And now she's retired, but like she helps with Calvin. She helps with my sister's child. And she does Poshmark.
She has
a Poshmark. What is she selling?
Yeah, what is she selling?
She sells like some of her stuff, but then I'll give my mom a pile, like a suitcase full of clothes to give to my little sister.
Oh,
and then
my
little sister will go through it and everything else my mom will sell on Poshmark.
This is hilarious.
And like,
what's your handle?
I don't even, E. Polly Paul probably.
Are we okay
know.
With that being, we're going to all.
She like, E. Polly Paul is her Instagram, but she's a riot. But it's a really funny. I have like a disease of just giving things away. Like I cannot give enough. Like we're about to move too, and it's just like get it all out of my house. Like I don't want.
Well, this is how I feel. I feel like we're at peak stuff, as a culture and as a family, and yet like I continue to acquire things. I've gotten a lot better at not buying things. Like one of my rules for myself is like if I go to Target, I buy what's on the list, and the exception is one. Thing for the kids, like if there's like a notepad or but the temptation is like, oh, that's a cute planter, like I don't need that, and also it's not sustainably manufactured in most cases.
I screwed up big time today.
What'd you do?
Oh, man. Well, you know that I've been doing Rent the Runway Unlimited, which I love.
Well, now
and I get four. I get four items. I'll never get sponsored. I should be sponsored. All my friends are doing it now.
I just signed up for Rent the Runway. What's it called?
I don't know this version.
Not the unlimited
Don't
one.
Tell Adam that your version exists, because then he'll tell me to do that version.
Yeah, you get four things a month.
A month.
It's like Stitch Fix, but a rental. Uh-huh. And
but you get to pick it out.
Very ugly. Sorry, Stitch Fix.
And I... Even the black tie dress that I wore the other day was Rent the Runway. Like, it's, I'm making it work. I don't have many clothing items. And Rent the Runway has been helping me with that. Mm-hmm. So I feel very righteous.
Yeah.
Although I feel bad about the shipping.
Them. Yeah.
But
you're still probably coming
you're
out
not
on top.
Yeah, you're not a shopper, though.
I'm not a shopper.
You're not a shopper.
But I'm a shopper at Target. Mm. And let me tell you, I got so mad this morning because Sabrina is in dance class with Bridget's daughter Phoebe, which is crazy. They accidentally showed up at dance class mm-hmm. together. That's like, cute. They didn't know.
It's cute. And then Phoebe was like, oh, yeah, Sabrina's back. I was like, back? She was never in our class.
Sabrina took class like 2 years
Did
ago.
Did she say Sabrina's back?
No, she was like, really, she was so excited. Like, she wasn't even, I mean, she was excited, but it was so matter of fact. And I was like, Sabrina? And yeah. She was like, yeah.
She's joining class like halfway through the year. So yeah. Anyway, this morning, she has two old leotards
they
from a couple
leotards
years ago.
At the studio. I meant to tell you that. Yeah.
Anyway, I had two old leotards. I picked them out last night. She was going to choose which one in the morning. Couldn't find the freaking leotards. We're trying to get out the door. Eliza's histrionic with Adam because she wants to go to school. But when I take her to school with Sabrina, she throws up every freaking time. And it takes all day to clean the car seat.
That's really too bad that she's allergic to school.
Oh, so I drop off Sabrina at school. I go to Target to pick up a leotard. Instead, I do a lap and I'm like, of course she needs a St. Patrick's Day beret. Mm-hmm. Of course,
yes.
Oh, we're going to go to Florida for spring break. Oh, so she needs to have a swimsuit. Of course, you know, it's just like it starts adding up, you guys, hundreds of dollars. I get the leotard, but then I don't know if she's a 4-5 or if she's graduated to a 6.
She's graduated to a 6 for sure.
Really?
Because
she's still
a 4-5.
Okay. Anyway, so I left the tags on. So anyway, she has some options. I didn't know if she'd like leg warmers or not. And then I realized I'm totally overcompensating for the fact that I'm the mom who's last week she had to go to the class without any dance clothes on because I got off the wait list like while she was at school. So we didn't have time for that. This is me overcompensating and being like, here's a bag of options
for dance. Well,
and I'm
sure also dance. Like the paranoia of, oh, like, I'm here. I should just get everything.
That's my problem,
well,
right? It's the anxiety of thinking I don't want to come here for another 3 months.
It's also like, oh, it's $7.99. Oh, it's $12.99. Yeah. Oh, it's – I mean, this is also tricky because I
and it's toilet paper and paper towels.
I mean, that's how they get you, though. I was raised – my mother's love language is gifts, like big time. Like if there's a – and it varies. Like if there's – when I broke up with my high school boyfriend, one of many times, I came home and there was this beautiful bouquet of stargazer lilies in my room and a lovely note that was really like really really I felt seen, which doesn't always happen when you're a teenager.
By your mother
in
or
any
by
relationship
your...
from my mother. It was from my
she
mother.
She gave you.
Yeah.
When you broke... Oh
and
my God,
so that
that's
was
so sweet.
It was very sweet. Yeah. Yes. And then no, it was very sweet. I was going to say, you know, there were complaints, of course, but that one
we've
was
heard
like
them on the podcast.
A lovely, yeah, she doesn't listen. That was a lovely one. But then, but anytime, like if something's wrong, it's like, can she send something? Can she help? And it's just her love language.
Yeah.
And it's, I really understand it. But I fight that urge a little bit. Like, and I've also learned that you can, like a friend of mine just lost a parent unexpectedly. And I was like, what can I send her? And she was going to be out of town. But I was able to send non-perishable food to her house, which I was like, right, you can do that too. Like, it doesn't have to be a thing. Do you know what I'm saying? You can send consumable goods.
That's no, but
there is better. Do you know what I mean? Instead of just sending her. Like,
I am very guilty of like for I use it in a few different ways, which. Like,
but you send so many good treats.
I know.
All you do is give
gifts.
Well,
I get like, I want to be able to be there. A lot of my friends do not live near. For Calvin, like, it is so easy. The easiest way to cut him off at any, like, he's freaking out. Here, have a chocolate. Have an M&M. Have a car.
Yeah.
Like, have a car.
Right. Change your state.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, what I've resorted to recently is, okay, I need to go to Target because I need blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't get it done while he was at school. Calvin, we're going to Target, which means I have to get him Like, you can pick out one thing, one, like, $5 thing. And that, to me, is, okay, well, that's cheaper than the babysitting hours that would require.
I know.
But then I have now made the, for him, the norm is, like, I'm going to the toy store today. And I act insane about, like, Calvin, you do not appreciate weight. Like, no, we're not getting a toy. What would make you think that we're getting a toy today? Well, because he gets a toy every third day.
Yeah.
Like, it's my fault.
I know.
How do I just pull the wool out all of a sudden, which is what I'm actively trying to do now, which is, you don't just get toys. Well, yes, I do. It's like, okay, well, from now on, you don't just get new toys.
Well, starting tomorrow.
We with Target, especially, there'll be a thing where we do the Berenstain Bears get the gimmies.
Oh, yeah.
We are not, like, we're going to Target. We are not buying toys. We can look in the toy aisle. Like, we are going for these things, and that's all we're buying. And then stick to it. But it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Also, especially if it seems small or insignificant. And what's hard is, like, we were at Barnes & Noble waiting for our table at Din Tai Fung at the Americana, some delicious soup dumplings, and my son saw a tiny wooden Thomas train, of which he has many, which I bought secondhand, and I feel virtuous. But this was when he didn't have, and it's a female train named Ashima. And I was like, oh, she's a person of color train. Like, this is all so absurd. But I was like, well, I should get him that one. Like,
yeah,
representation. Yeah. He only has Victor and Henry and blah, blah, blah. And we bought it, and he sleeps with
Percy.
It's like we have Percy. And Percy's the circus animal one. He sleeps with Ashima. He talks about Ashima the train constantly. He's never seen the show. Not because we're precious about screens. He just hasn't seen the show. He's seen one and it scared him, so we haven't watched it again. But he carries the train everywhere. And then I'm like, listen, that was a great $6.99.
Yeah.
Actually, they're more expensive than that. But I was like, and that was an impulse buy waiting for a table. Like,
I still get crazy eyes whenever I go to CVS because my dad would take me to the pharmacy and I could get whatever I wanted as long as it was in that like 3-minute window of when he got his prescription.
It's like supermarket sweep.
Yeah. When I go to the pharmacy, and it was so exciting, like in high school, because it'd be like lip gloss and mascara, like whatever, like gum, like whatever.
Yeah.
I still get crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the impulse buy.
If you ask Calvin his favorite toy stores, it's CVS.
And there's like Walgreens has good toys.
Oh, Walgreens, way better toys. We went to the Walgreens, speaking of, down the street from where we're staying here, and he was just like, his eyes
glazed
over.
Yeah, they have like real toys. And they also, the Walgreens in New York sold red vines, which were really hard to find in New York. So I went to,
That's so funny. I haven't had red vines in a long time. I haven't been to the movie theater.
I feel like the last time I had red vines was when you and I were shooting.
Probably.
I was
going to say, they have them in gymnastics, you guys. We could get you. Oh. George had one this morning at 10:15.
So good.
Sabrina still talks about my mom's sister, who I call Annie M, because she gave them red vines last summer in the car. And so Sabrina just has an affinity for Annie M because she's like, she's the one who gives me candy.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. That's why you're not supposed to,
So are there any other ways in which you are curbing your spending habits?
For me, it's not like I don't need a juice. I don't need to go get like Pret a Manger in New York, which is like, it's the food is good. It's easy. It's way too much money for what like the sandwich that you're buying. But what I've been doing is like, I can just go home and make food.
I'm just going to drink Soylent.
Yeah. They should sponsor us. I have been trying to set limits. Like, I want new sneakers. I don't need new sneakers, but I kind of want new sneakers. So I've said, on March 1st, if I still want sneakers, I will think about buying them. Just like delaying gratification is really hard for me. I'm really good about certain things. Like, even as a kid, I was good about like eating one Twinkie and saving the other one.
But terrible.
I'm not good when I want to scratch that itch so fast. If I want something, I want to have it right away. But I realized like often I don't really want it that much. It was my year of no buy last year. You know what I'm talking about? Ann Patchett. Ann Patchett wrote it for the New York Times.
I'm saying, tell our listeners.
Hearing about it.
Ellie, I was like, Ellie's nodding.
I'm nodding towards the microphone.
She wrote an essay. It was Ann Patchett, right? in the New York Times about how she decided to not buy anything for a year that basically wasn't sold at a grocery store. And her only and her rules, if memory serves, were she could only use she could only replace things that she'd used up. And that was it, basically.
Does Costco count as a grocery store?
Yeah. But so this has really helped me. Like with skincare, I don't buy things until I use them up, which is also shocking, like how many serums I haven't used up, but then how quickly you actually use things up when you use them every day.
Because
then I was like, oh, that one's done. Great. Time for a new one. So that's been helpful. So, you know, trying to emulate some of her rules. Clothing is a big one for me because if I have something coming up, I pretty much always become convinced I have nothing to wear, which is not true.
Yeah, but I also think, like, because when you audition a lot for, which both of us audition a lot, like, and I think where you're like, oh, if I just had the right outfit for
then
this
I'll get
thing,
this job.
I would feel better. And I do that. In October, I said, I'm not going to buy any new clothes for a year. And that fell apart. And I lasted until January.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty good.
But yeah, there is, like, when I find something, and I have a huge problem with this in vintage stuff because I feel like it's a treasure and I found it and I am rescuing
this piece.
For
it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're the only one who could fit in it.
Well, yeah.
It's less that. It's more like,
I know. You can brush that off.
I'm just saying, you're small boned. Like the women in the 1950s.
Yeah.
But that, like, I get a rush of, I fixed it. There's a problem, and I've just fixed it. And of course you haven't. Of course there's like, Brooklyn Decker I follow on. I think she's so wonderful. I love her. I don't know her personally. Like, but
she's
her presence.
Very charming.
Her public presence is incredible. But she had this thing, you know, go through your, like, shop your closet, essentially.
Yes.
And, like, dress, you know, which I was like, this is a wonderful idea, and I didn't do it.
But what do you mean by shop your closet and dress?
Like, if you're like, okay, basically make the effort. Like, instead of, and it's so much easier said than done, because in the morning.
Like, your phrases for me are be better and make the effort. Continue.
But
oh my God, I didn't know
what
mine are.
Her thing was, like, get and she's saying it, like, as a mom's. Get dressed in the morning. Like,
yeah,
as if
don't
you
wear yoga pants, blah, blah,
yes,
blah.
Yes, like, as if you're going to the office or something. Like, yes, don't wear yoga pants. Brooklyn, I feel very, like, I have to look cool. Like, I'm dropping off
New York
in Brooklyn.
Different.
Like, I want to look hip for drop-off for no reason at all. But I...
For, like, Brooklyn and for Brooklyn Decker.
Exactly. But she... Her thing was, like, you have so much stuff in your closet that you haven't looked at in a certain way, you know, just make the effort to go through your closet and find, like, put pieces together, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like, it doesn't feel as good.
No, it doesn't feel as good. This is also all to salve an existential wound, right? Like, this is all to make us feel better about.
Well, that's why my shopping has gone from me, which, again, and I think a lot of mothers fall into this trap where we're like, okay, well, we don't need to spend on ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
But we're going to – now I am buying so much for my daughters. And I wasn't like that with Sabrina when she was little. I was the queen of, like, the white onesie. Like, it wasn't – I wasn't the mom who was like, I need to have a bunch of cute little dresses because of my little girl. But now that I have my second girl and she's only 19 months but, like, wearing a tutu and, like, on her way to college, it feels like it – suddenly I am like, oh, we're – and because Sabrina's getting bigger, she's 5, like, she's going into kindergarten and into elementary school. And I'm like, oh, this is my last chance to, like, get them to wear really stupid things. Where they let me wear them wear stupid things. Like, I'm suddenly getting them matching dresses. And it's like, yes, existential.
Yeah. I feel that way, too. But I am also, I said it yesterday, it's like, I was so good at finding things, like, doing clothing swaps. And there was a really good consignment store, but, like, down market consignment store in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of not party dresses, but everyday play clothes. But it went out of business. to down market. But I just feel like, man, the waste part of it kills me with buying for kids. But I don't know what the alternative is.
Well, you told me about Poshmark. And so when we went to Colorado for Christmas, I Poshmarked my way into like some great things,
yeah,
but I
for
didn't
kid stuff.
For kids stuff, but I didn't like, know that you could name your price, yeah. So I was overpaying.
Made a lot of
but
posh for, like, happy.
Calvin, I hand his clothes down to my sister,
yeah.
But now I couldn't because he wears through his yeah. clothes like they're unwearable.
You reach
by the time
there's like
done.
A cliff. What's it called? Like it's not diminishing returns. At a certain point, yeah. You can't. Like no one is handing over a boy's 5T pants.
No,
because they're destroyed.
Yeah. I will admit that my girlfriend Kelly had given me this amazing bag of kid clothes mm-hmm. from her twins, and then I never got another bag, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer because they were so cute. And then I realized that part of it was because. Then they were in preschool and everything yeah.
well,
gets trashed.
I yeah. ask people, like, we have these.
Except Eliza
things.
Will be wearing Sabrina's trash.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, I say, like, do you. This is in good used condition, but it's not excellent anymore. And most people say yes, and I'm sure then they throw it away. But, like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He could. No, his, like, it's holes. It's, like, pee stains that will never. You know.
Yeah.
Ew.
He just, you know, he drips.
Boys.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're potty trained. We're there, man. Except
with George.
Yeah.
How
much.
Old is he now?
He's two.
Do your partners go to the bathroom in the middle of the night?
I sleep with sometimes. My child still, so I don't know.
So he sleeps in a different room.
Chris?
Yes.
Yeah.
My partner goes to the bathroom occasionally in the middle of the night, but what he usually does is wait till I go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, not realize I'm in the bathroom, wake up to go to the bathroom. I'm like, I'm in here, whisper shouting because our bathroom is not en suite. And then he opens the door and he screams and I scream. And
that
then my child wakes up.
This happened to me
one
last
of my children
week.
Wake up. And I'm like, just check the bed before you come out here.
Oh, my God. But I was Dan in this scenario yeah. because we were in the middle of our Russian doll binge.
Yeah, so good.
I wake up in the middle of the night. Any listeners who haven't watched Russian Doll on Netflix yet, you must. But there's one song that plays over and over and over again.
Carrie Nielsen, yeah.
And it was playing in my head. I get up to pee. I think I woke up because Adam had gotten up. Anyway, yes. He's sitting on the toilet when I get in there because I guess he pees on the toilet, like sitting.
Larry David had a bed at night. Okay. Yeah, it's easier. Yeah.
I jumped about 50 feet in the air. I was so
it's
freaked.
Very surprising when it happened.
And it was so upsetting because it's like because of Russian Doll, which how would you describe that show?
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, but it's like about different realities yeah. and you keep
I mean,
seeing people
are
different-
describing it as like a Groundhog Day style premium cable thing. Mm-hmm. I'm great at describing things.
Yeah. So anyway, basically things are weird and you never really know if you're alive. And
yeah, you die over and over again. That's not a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. But it was what experience I had in the middle of the night. Because I was like, oh, why are you here? Like,
I just had a jump scare in my real life. When I had my daughter, I was so afraid that someone was going to carjack me or rob me while I was loading her into the car.
I don't know how that hasn't happened to us.
Like,
we are such a target.
Yeah.
Well, when in the Target
but
parking
what would
lot,
they get a minivan.
Yeah, well,
a
I
purse.
Used to have an Explorer. Yes, yeah, they would get a beautiful Honda Odyssey with the TV yeah, and vacuum.
You've got your back
your
turned.
Purse, I don't know.
Putting
your anxiety.
Kid in.
Yeah. It's anxiety.
This is
so I had
a big
I was,
thing for me.
But I mean, it would be the middle of the day, like on Ventura Boulevard, and I would be like loading her as fast as I could. I would never let go if like she was in the snap and go. I would never let go of it while I was doing stuff. I'm a little more cavalier the second time around, but I was in the parking lot of our grocery store loading my child in before I was breaking up with my phone. And I was like, I'm going to check my email. This is legit, a little bit legit because of work stuff. So I had him in the car already strapped in and I was like leaning down into the footwell of where the child seat is. And I heard somebody, a man say, excuse me, like in a really bright tone, obviously to alert me to his presence. But I turned around and he was probably 3.5 feet, like a safe distance. But I screamed. And then he screamed. Like he went like, whoa! When I, like, but I did like a, ah! Like a real scream. And then he screamed. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You told me that so you didn't scare me. And he was like, yeah, yeah. But then you scared me. And I was like, I'm sorry. And he was wearing an apron from Pavilions, the grocery store. And he was like, sorry, I'm in a rush. So can I squeeze past you?
Oh,
he was parked next
to me.
Oh my God. And I was like, yes, of course. I'm so sorry. And then the 2-year-old is like, mama screamed, mama screamed, mama scared, mama screamed. And I was like, yes, I did. So we had to process that for a long time. But I couldn't believe, I was like, the old me never would have turned her back. Again, it was like 10 a.m. Like,
how do you not turn your back, though? Like, that's how you put the kid in the car.
Yes, I know, but I used to, like, whip my head around.
That was a huge fear.
I know.
My mom used to tell us to always, when we were getting into our car, this is when we were teenagers, like, someone could be standing under your car with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
I think
we were don't unlock with a keyless entry until your arms reach. We got keyless entries towards the end of high school. Check the back seat before you get in.
That still haunts me.
And then
me.
keys between your fingers so you can jab someone's
going to be effective.
Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
meanwhile, you've got some frustrating 5-year-old who like doesn't want to get in her booster.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, we're a target. No. We both have ponytails.
Anything can happen. I know.
Ponytail thing, man.
Yeah, no jogging. No, I know. Well, yeah, there's a lot to worry about.
There is a lot to worry about. Moral of the story.
My crazy thing, which I've told you guys before, is when, because Chris is out of town a lot, and I get very bad migraines. I worry about aneurysms, which are not related to migraines, but I worry about like
that
just exploding in the middle of the night and dying. When Chris is in town.
Any part of you.
So, explode. And like, you know, we live in New York. I feel like it would take a long time for someone to, Calvin could be screaming and crying and like, it's New York. There are people screaming and crying all over the place. Even like in our quiet neighborhood. So I taught Calvin how to unscrew a pouch and put all of his like snacks at a low level and then taught him how to open a jug of milk so that if I died and he woke up that he'd be able to feed himself so he wouldn't be too hungry.
And he wouldn't eat your face like they say pets do.
Pets, But why not call 911? Why not teach him to call 911?
Well, then I did do that after. Well, because he was a little too young to understand like the phone. I feel like
you're just like,
fingers.
If mom can't pour you your milk.
Now, well, she doesn't know how to ask for help. So she's not going to teach her son how to ask for help.
No, well, this was early. Like this was before I taught him all this. Like this is probably a year ago. He's 3 and a half now. And now, like about 6 months ago, I said, Calvin, if there's ever a time when mommy, like, isn't
unresponsive.
And he was like, he looked at me. And I said, you know, ambulances are there to, he loves ambulances and fire trucks. Like, they're there to help you. And here's how you call them on the phone. And I taught him how to, like, slide up and 911, and emergency 911. And he said, but mommy's fine. And I said, yes, mommy's fine now, but if ever there's a time when
Sabrina,
you just can't wake me up.
Yeah. Oh,
and you can see his face, like his eyes, he all of a sudden gets very nervous.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right, but you're like, horrifying. You're thanking me for this.
I know.
Meanwhile, Sabrina, my other child, Sabrina loves cracking the password on my phone. So she would just like watch Netflix. For days.
But well, it's like after I play my Montessori game, then I will go. But if they're not scared.
He was definitely scared. This made him scared. And then, now I have like with my friend Megan, I have like, I'm going to text you when Chris is out of town that I'm alive. Like you get your alive text by 9 o'clock. And
right. Otherwise, head on over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it makes sense, sort of.
I can't believe that I never thought about that before I had kids. Like, there are so many things. And you're like, oh, right. Like, there are so many terrible things.
I just figured, like, if I'm by myself and I'm gone, then I'm gone. So I don't want to
really like,
check
bad.
In on me.
But it's the responsibility. I mean, I was already pretty good at – well, for me, I still occasionally have a am I short of breath? Am I dying? You know, just out of nowhere. But I definitely transferred some of my, here are all the bad things that could befall me to here are all the bad things that could befall my children.
Right.
Like that definitely transferred for me where now I'm like an after, my well-being is an anxiety afterthought generally.
What does that mean?
Like, I might take that back.
Because aren't you worried? I'm worried that I will be gone, which means he has no one. That's not true. He has a father, but like he has no one to care for him.
Yeah, of course.
Like I don't worry about his well-being as much. Like when he, for example, he had to get 10 stitches. He had a fall and I get very like, that's fine. It'll heal. He's okay. Like I don't worry about him getting I should probably, but I very much worry that he won't have someone to take care of him, which I'm sure he's somehow internalizing and will, you know,
he'll find a wonderful woman
who will make him sandwiches on the plane.
Oh yeah, he'll find someone who loves to take care of people.
But you'll still be sleeping with him, and she'll sleep in the other
room. You'll love her. You'll love her. I
can't wait to see how this all plays out.
I have that too, but I'll like go so far. This is like a little bit of a content warning, but like I'll go so far as to be like, oh, it's going to be so sad for the first few years, and they're going to have this wound of the dead mom, but then my husband will find someone.
And then
like that will be really sad, but hopefully they'll love her, but she'll never love them as much as she'll love the children she has with him later.
Yes.
And like, you know,
it's true.
And then I do,
I know
like,
this.
I'll go down that road, but then I'm like, well, I probably won't know. So what can I do? Yeah.
You're saying she won't love them as much, or he won't love
like the new kids that they have
He'll love the new kids
no,
more,
not
or
him.
She will.
He might always have like fondness for his first family.
Right.
But then I go as far as to ask Dan how he feels about this fantasy. And he rarely indulges me. But I was really shocked once when I was pregnant with my son, and we were going to a wedding, and we were out of state, and we were leaving my daughter with my parents. I said, and I've always been a fearful flyer, but like I don't take drugs anymore. Like I'm decent, and if you rode with me, you might be surprised to find out that I don't enjoy it, but I don't enjoy it. I'm not like white knuckling the whole time. But I said to Dan, you know, I'm worried about it, but less so like obviously I don't want to die in a plane crash, but more like Phoebe's parents. I don't want us to both die. Yeah. And he was like, you got to take that somewhere else. I can't handle that. And I was like, you made vows to me to tolerate all of my anxiety. And he was really like, no, like that's, you know, unless you're proposing we drive, like I'm not open to
hearing. There's a million ways that could go
wrong.
So
much worse. But I actually amended our will before we left on that trip because I was feeling so anxious to a little note that if we died, the child should go where we had decided to custody-wise unless they all decided something else was a better idea. I wrote that in.
But wait, all of them together decided?
Does it count if you write it in, or do you have to be at the fancy office?
It turns out it doesn't matter anyway with custody. Like, you can, they're your wishes, but it's not legally binding.
Really?
But if it's because we did a living will in it. It is legally.
It's legally binding, but like whatever sibling I'm assuming you leave Calvin to could be like, hey, I really can't swing this.
We did like if she says no, then.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah.
We did that too. But like, here's our preference.
Yeah.
But then I wrote in like, unless you guys think there's a better plan that like assuaged some of my fear.
Oh my God. But that'll just give them so much more anxiety.
Not my problem.
Still really have to figure it out.
No, but you have to, because when you start going down these holes.
Oh, we figured it all out.
Spirals. It's really it's unending.
There's somebody in our life who I don't think will ever listen to. So, but we have in-laws who called to say that they were changing after a particularly tense Thanksgiving, and would we accept responsibility? And we were like, yeah, sure.
Wow.
But then I was like, I hope we all make it.
I think my dad and my stepmom were traveling, and they called me, and they were like, just so you know, you're in charge. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
My mom reminds me of her will every time they travel.
Yes.
Yeah, I come by all this, honestly.
My mother also reminds me of their will, tells me where she's hidden jewelry she doesn't want to bring on their trip, which, what? It's not like priceless. I mean, it's nice, but it's not
very
priceless.
Thoughtful.
And then where she's written down, because it's not in the will, who gets what of her bracelets, her bangles.
Oh my God.
That my dad has given her for like every anniversary, like that's which grandchild gets which.
Well, I love
like,
that she's thought this through. My grandmother. Yeah. On my dad's side, it was like a free-for-all in a closet.
Yes,
it was terrible.
Yeah. It's just, there's like
a lot of stuff went missing. Let's just say that.
Well, yeah.
I love my aunts.
Yeah. That stuff tears families apart.
This is making me really anxious talking about this.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I feel like I need
in
to
closing,
poo.
Digital detox.
Oh.
Because that'll make us feel better, right? Because that should help with our anxiety. What are the rules of this digital detox? That you're so looking forward to once your library book comes
yes,
in.
I'm not Bridget. Spending on books. I just need a little space. Like, I have an Apple Watch, which I love and has been great.
They make me nuts. Can't do it.
Yeah,
continue.
But I'm getting texts right now.
See, I would go insane.
But so I've been putting it on Do Not Disturb. So
So now it's just an expensive watch. Got it.
I mean, relatively, yeah. But putting everything on Do Not Disturb. And then also carving out time. It's hard because of the I'm doing this directing fellowship. It's very exciting. And I'm very busy with the logistics of it. So I legitimately need to be connected right now. But I let it sort of seep into everything. So I'm trying to have it be like, when my phone is charging, my watch is on Do Not Disturb. And I'm not checking email. I'm not checking my texts. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to just sort of like keep it as in a confined space.
That's because you're, Ellie, you're, I think, very good at.
Yeah, you are.
This is my time, like, for being with my kids. This is my time for responding to emails. This is my time. Like, you're very good at not.
Those boundaries.
The boundaries, yes. And I think, like, yeah, I spin out because for work, like, an email will come in and that means I have to go to work immediately because there's a thing the next day. So it's Pavlovian at this point in like a very bad way. But one of Chris's friends has a sign, like he's a musician composer and has a sign posted on his wall that is like, I'm not in the office. Like, do not check email before 5 p.m. Like a sign, which is like incredible. And I wish that I could do that. Like, I wish that so I can aspire. But what I've tried to do is similarly, like, okay, I'm working on an audition. I have and an hour, like even an hour, mm-hmm. which is such a small amount of time, but is so hard to just turn everything off. So I've tried to do that. And again, Do Not Disturb, but just put it so that, if there's an emergency, you will
hear the call comes through. Yeah.
But, like, start small. That's where I'm at.
I have so much less anxiety now because I don't – with the podcast, I've been really bad. I'm trying to actually get a lot better about the fact that I would just never respond to emails with, like, guest requests and stuff because I just get overwhelmed. And I'm like, I'm trying to put out an episode for next week. I don't have time to respond to this guest request.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a lot better about that because I also understand that that's disrespectful. And there was a really cool – New York Times piece, I want to say it was Adam Grant, I might be making that up, about that it's like rude not to respond to emails. Because mm-hmm. I went way overboard into being, like probably disrespectful in not responding. But now I'm trying to respond to all of those at one time in sort of like a block scheduling fashion. And I realize it's because I don't like saying no to people and I don't like hurting their feelings. So that's why I'm resisting it.
Not do it. Yeah.
But I need to do it. And then with the texting, you guys are both able to be present, or at least you're good at faking being present while also responding to texts or seeing what's coming in. My brain doesn't work like that. And I can't do it. And it gives me so much anxiety that, now I just check my phone at night for the text and I'll join back in the conversation. Like, Bridget and I are in a mom group text chain. And
Ellie really ghosted us yesterday.
She was like,
the Oscar party, I'll tell you all later, getting Sabrina to school. And then literally like 13 hours later, she started liking people's comments.
It's like I got to see Bradley Cooper on Oscar night at the party, at the Warner Brothers party. And like, I left everyone hanging, but then life happened. But it was so funny when I started liking things at the end of the day, I was in bed. And then Adam wants to start talking to me.
Well, Adam has boundaries around the phone.
He gets very jealous. I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
The three of us have had text chains that have gone awry because Adam gets so jealous of it. Sorry, Adam. It's true. You do not like which is fair to a partner. Like, they don't want the focus stolen. Yeah. It's literally like you guys are sitting on the edge of the bed with me.
Yeah.
So, but someone said in that text group, like, is Ellie alive? Or
no,
Ellie's
I said Ellie woke up. Because Ellie was like, I'm trying to go back to bed. And then
I was
she
so
didn't
hungover.
Respond for 12 hours. And so I was like, Ellie woke up.
It was great. And the party was great. But I think that I have so much less anxiety when I'm not on my phone, when I'm not responding to people. I'm getting a little more okay with ghosting. And the other thing I do use my phone for in wrapping up is all the time now I'm playing music in the house.
Yeah.
And that really does, you said state shift or shifting states earlier. Yeah. And that really does help us as a family. When Sabrina's really acting wild, I'll put some classical music on.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'll put some Chris Thiele.
Yeah, which Uncle music Chris is not allowed in our house. Like, there's nothing, music that, on. There's nothing that makes Chris more irritated than coming upstairs and there's music on. Like, it so makes, because he's just not, he has such a strange relationship. Not a strange relationship to music. He's a musician. But he can't. Like, he background music is not a thing. So he is tuned in no matter what, and he either loves it or hates it, but, like, is very tuned in.
That's fascinating.
And but Calvin, like, loves rock music, and loves Radiohead and loves Vampire Weekend and all of this stuff. So, like, in the morning, it's super helpful for me if it's on, because it, like, moves things along. Luckily Chris is usually sleeping.
Yes, to wear sound blockers.
But yeah, but if Chris comes home at night, like, I can see it physically, be like, hey, and, like, his shoulders start tensing and, like,
because
okay,
of the music.
Because of the music. Yeah.
Fascinating. I know. I have to brag right now that Chris gave Sabrina a little lesson on the mandolin the last time.
Did Adam tell you that if you guys move to Brooklyn, Sabrina will get mandolin lessons
What do we get if we move to Brooklyn?
Oh, well, if your children want mandolin lessons, you get mandolin lessons for free. Yeah.
They probably would.
Okay, Bridget, you have work to do. Claire, I think your son might be in our backyard.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And maybe Eliza's awake. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Please share this with your mom friends. Until next week, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.